Hello, welcome back to a new episode of For the Love of Weather. This is the podcast where we explore the Earth's atmosphere and how we are all connected through the weather and climate. We are your hosts, Gemma and Aisling. We're both meteorologists and weather presenters and have been working in weather now for over 15 years. We are so happy to have you here on the podcast with us today. And as always, we hope that you leave this episode loving the weather just that little bit more and learn a little something about how the weather and climate can impact our daily lives. Hi, I'm Gemma.
Hi, I'm Aisling.
So we're so excited to welcome Sean Batty to the podcast today. Sean is a meteorologist, weather presenter on STV in Scotland, and actually Scotland's sweetheart, may I add? Is that right, Sean? I think it actually is.
The Vera Lynn of Scotland.
In 2019, you presented your own TV show, Sean Scotland, and you took viewers on a journey around the beautiful country of Scotland over 7 weeks, and the programme covered weather, environment, people in the wildlife, probably, you know, all things that you talk about every day in your job. But most importantly, just recently, you've released a book. We're so pleased and thrilled to have read it. I would just like to say my boys read it before me.
Oh, really?
Yes, they did. It's all about climate change, and it's a beautiful book. It also seems really timely as well. I feel like the conversation on climate has just really changed, and so I think it's actually a beautiful time, and we're so excited that you're going to talk to us about it. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. So it's great to be invited on. You know, just to talk about the title very quickly. I had so many different ideas for a title, and then I thought, why don't I just say what it is? It's the worst Christmas weather ever. So that it does what it says in the tin.
So just before we actually get to the book, we just want to ask you, where is the first spark of joy? Where did that come from? Where you thought, oh, I'm going to work in the weather?
I think we all have a story, don't we? Everybody that works in weather has a story or a reason. And for me, my interest in weather started when I was 7 years old. We were watching Blue Peter, and there was a BBC weather presenting kit that you could get. I think it was like MetCheck or something back in the day. And I was like, I want that. So we got that for my seventh birthday, and it had little stick-on weather symbols on a weather map, so that I got to present the weather. So I used to drive my family crazy because I was like, watch me do the weather. So since I was seven, I've just been so obsessed with it. And for me, it's snow. I absolutely love snow, and I am completely obsessed with it. Unfortunately, of course, in this country, and especially now, we tend to get snow for 24 hours. You feel as if when it snows, you have to run out quickly, enjoy it, because it's all gone 24 hours later. So for me, it was just a real obsession since I was 7 years old, and I've just always been obsessed with it. And here I am, like yourselves.
Lucky Scotland. <the dream. laughs> Lucky Scotland.
Yes, and well, Scotland has got its fair share of. I know when down in Anglia, it's very, very different to here. We take the brunt of everything, and then I quite often see pictures on a summer's day when it's pouring with rain here and it's 12 degrees. Everybody in London and Kent and Essex and Norfolk, all enjoying the lovely sunshine.
It is a country of extremes. That's why we all love forecasting here. So myself and Jem have actually had a little chat about this book, aside from the fact that we're loving it and we're always talking about communicating climate change and try to communicate it with kids. One of the things that we both picked up on actually was that we loved how you went to extreme cold. You went to extreme cold weather, and that's one of the biggest things I think people don't understand about climate change. Can you tell us a little bit about your decision to do that?
I suppose when we were younger, there was always, I remember at school when we were younger, it was all about the ozone layer. It was all about, of course, the term was global warming at the time, which gave a sort of false narrative of what it was about, because obviously people think, well, it's global warming, the world is getting warmer and we're never going to see snow again. But in actual fact, climate change is more about the variability, it's the fluctuations, it's the violent changes that we're getting in the weather. I mean, just to give you an example, here in Scotland, a few weeks ago, we had heavy snow all day in Glasgow, which is pretty rare before Christmas, but we had snow all day, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got woken up by the noise of the snow coming down off the roof of the house. And I looked, obviously, as we all have, a little weather station at home, quickly checked what the temperature was, and it was 14 and a half degrees. And that was at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just crazy. And obviously that's just one event, but it's a sign of the times, of the volatility of the weather. And I think it's important to still talk about the other extremes, because in Scotland, it was only maybe about 10 years ago where we were very close to setting a brand new low temperature record. So it's not, of course, the general trend is away from frost, it's away from, lying snow, but we still get those huge variations. And of course, I mean, parts of Spain did have record snowfall just a few years ago. Japan has had some incredible snowfalls in recent years. And I think it was maybe either last year or the year before, I know that some of the American Canadian ski centres had to close because there was just too much snow. And I think, when we talk about climate change, we talk about the fact, you've got a warmer atmosphere that holds more moisture. So therefore, when it does snow, potentially you could still be looking at record snowfalls. So I think it was important to address, as much as I could, as you would have seen in the book. I talked about extreme droughts. I talked about the extreme fires, heavy snow, floods, tornadoes, at a time of year where you potentially wouldn't expect tornadoes. So I think I was trying to touch as many things as possible, but it was only at the end of the book I suddenly thought, actually, there is a lot of snow in this and cold weather. But everything in that book is based on an actual event which has happened in those countries. So these are things that are actually happening. Is my whole thing is climate change doesn't need any embellishment. These are things that are actually happening.
It's so true. I mean, it's as I was reading the book, I did think to myself, I remember that event. I remember forecasting for that event. I mean, we've been lucky. We've read the book. So if you were to explain it to somebody, how would you explain what the book is about?
So the way I explain it is, I say it's a very early introduction to climate change. The age group is round about 4 or 5 up to about 8 or 9. It's about Santa traveling the world and experiencing the worst Christmas weather ever. When I was thinking about, so during lockdown, just give you a bit of context of how I got round to writing the book. During lockdown, when we were all trying to find our feet on how you do forecasting, how you broadcast even. I did the weather from my garden for about a year on my phone. And at the time, of course, lots of parents were homeschooling. And it suddenly thought, when it comes to, of course, because climate is such a big thing, I was like, how about I start making packs up for schools in Scotland, giving parents some things to do, like get the kids to make rain gauges, and they would send in weather observations by video every day. And I had kids from Shetland, the Borders, Argyll in the west of Scotland, to Fife in the east, from all over the country. And what was such a great thing is it created a real community on television. But it sparked my interest in doing educational work and educating people. And, children are little sponges, aren't they? So they just soak all this up and they love weather. So for me, the book was about just trying to trigger something in children's minds. A bit like when I was 7, why did I become interested in weather? Well, there was a spark somewhere. And that's what I'm trying to do with this book, is just create a bit of a spark and hopefully inspire some mini meteorologists and trying to spark children to think about what they could potentially do to make the weather better for Santa and make the planet better for all of us.
You know what, Sean? I'm actually a little bit emotional listening to
Oh, really?
you. No, and do you know why? Because I do talks in the schools as well, and like literally everything you're saying, I just really resonate with. When you have all of this information, you want to scream and shout it, and it's really difficult to do because you don't want to scare anyone. Which actually brings me on to this. I love this. I mean, I absolutely love this. So
Oh, thank
traditionally for
you.
Christmas, right, like you get stuff from Santa, and I love that you put into the book that Santa gave suggestions. And like one of the hardest, the biggest questions we face, myself and Gemma ask it on every single podcast, like, how can I help? What can I do? And you've actually told the children what to do, and Santa has asked them, and he's this big guy. Like tell me all about it. I want to know all of
Do you
your
know,
thoughts behind that.
it's been so exciting because when I've done readings at schools and, I've also done some theatres actually as well in the Highlands. And, you have a room full of children that they love the book. And at the end of it, I deliberately don't go to the last page. And I say, so Santa is asking, who can help make the weather better? Who can make the planet better? And it's so funny when you ask children, because children, they're all looking at each other and they're, I've had baby Jesus. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had baby Jesus. God, what about the elves? Some have suggested the reindeer. I'm not quite sure. I think they potentially contribute to climate change, but the reindeer, Santa, and even myself, because children look at us and think, well, you tell us what the weather's going to be. You must control it. And I'm kind of like, well, I wish I could. If I could control it, I'd make it snow every day. But it's really interesting hearing them. And do you know, and occasionally you'll get the odd child that will just put their hand up and say, us. And then you go, that's what it's about. That is exactly what it's about. And then obviously at that point, all the other children in the room start looking at each other, and I turn the page and I say, it's you. You are the ho-ho heroes. You are the heroes of this book. The children in this story are the ones that are sitting right in front of me just now, because you're the custodians of the future. You're the key holders for making the world better for all of us. Obviously, we know there's a much bigger picture, but I think we need to also be mindful of climate anxiety. I remember being absolutely petrified as a kid about the ozone layer. It was taught to us in a way that the ozone layer was depleting and eventually we might not have an ozone and we'll get fried. And it was so scary. But I think what the message is all about is not just saying, hey, this is what's happening and we can't do anything about it. Of course we can. We can. And there is a much bigger picture of governments and people around the world, but it also starts at a grassroots level. And the children make hedgehog houses, they feed the birds. That's just that little bit about helping nature. It's about recycling more, it's about planting trees and on your farm more. I've had so many emails from parents that have said, we just read your book and we're going to plant a tree next year because my little one wants to plant a tree. Or like I've had school teachers that have emailed me saying we're doing a bird box thing next year because one of the kids have brought the book in and said we really need to help Santa, and that's what it's about. And I'm just it's so nice to actually see something that I've written and thought about, and that kids are picking it up and they want to become ho-ho heroes. It's just such a lovely thing to see.
Did you always want to write a book, or was it something that came to you while you was in lockdown, while you were doing all this educational stuff, or has it always been there that it's something that you've wanted to do?
Well, Gemma, the thing is, no. And it's a bit like presenting the weather on television. It's not something I think most of us are the same. You never really in our wildest dreams thought we would be doing this. And it's a dream come true, being able to, have a passion for weather and to actually be on television broadcasting to, your nation or region every single night. But really, it did come off the back of the lockdown and feeling as if there was something a bit missing after it, because I enjoyed the educational part. And we had created on Facebook the Mini Met team, which was such a great community. I can't believe, though, that this was nearly 5 years ago and some of these kids are now in high school. It's so horrible to think these were all almost what I thought were babies at the time and now they're in high school. But no. It kind of came off the back of that. I'm also working on a much bigger project at the moment, which is another book that I'm hoping will come out in 2026. I mean, it might even be 2027 because it's such a big lift. I'm working on a new book which is going to break Scotland down into its council regions. So Shetland, the Western Isles, really small regions like Falkirk, which, it's virtually just a town. But I'm trying to break Scotland down into these small regions and come up with stats from each region about rainfall, snowfall, how that's changed in the last 40 years. And in the book, I've actually got a bit like, your granny, this is what your granny would have seen. Your granny would have been able to have built a snowman on 40 days a year, but now you can only build it on 15 days a year. It's trying to break it right down to a really local level. We talk about climate change as a global thing. Of course, it's a global thing. But I think what we don't see often enough is detail about what is actually happening in your own back garden, because things are happening right around the world. And it may not be massively severe in some parts of our country, but I think it's important to point out that things are changing here, and that is more drastic in other parts of the world.
I think looking at the regional level is a really important one, and showing people how it can impact lots of different parts of their lives that maybe they haven't even thought of. And the gen me and Ash have spoken about it a lot, like breaking it down into generations, like your grandparents compared to you, compared to your children or your nephews. Like that generational breakdown as well is a really important way of communicating it as well.
Well, it's funny because if you look at somewhere like Braemar, everybody that knows anything about weather in the UK knows Braemar because it's so famous for its cold weather and one of its most historic weather stations. But Braemar, if you look at the number of days where you have lying snow, we now have about 35 days less lying snow than we did in the 60s. Now, I mean, that might seem a long time, but of course that isn't that long. And we've almost halved the number of days that we get lying snow. And sometimes when you say to people, I felt when COP26 was in Scotland, I kind of felt that climate change is a bit of a hard sell in Scotland, because what you're telling people is, that we will have warmer summers, we will have less snow in the winter, we'll have less frost, the growing season will be slightly longer. And you when you start giving that message, you think, I can understand why people might say, what's not to like about that? But what I say to people is, remember when it reaches 35 here, you might think, oh, well, that's really nice. It's a lovely warm day. I mean, that's so rare for us in Scotland to be above 25. Some people absolutely love it if it's 35. But what I say to them is, remember, we are on the very edge. When it's 35 here, it's 40 in England, it's 45 in France, it's nearly 50 in Spain and Portugal. And that's a kind of message that I try and remind people, that whilst we may think things are not too bad here, we need to remember that we are quite often on the edge of the real bad stuff.
Yeah, I love all of that you're talking about, actually, because we, as Gemma was saying about the regional stuff, it's very hard to explain on a day to day. Like, it's mild, it's a bit wet and windy here. There's nothing overly extreme about the day at the moment. So actually, the climate, the climate is changing. But you touched off something that really, really like spoke to me. And you have like Santa telling the kids, helping the kids make decisions about that. The end of the book is incredibly hopeful. How important is hope in the conversation of climate change?
Again, that feeds into the climate anxiety. It's about trying to avoid scaring people. We did a campaign on STV a few years ago. Every year we have a green campaign at STV where all our adverts go green. We do an awful lot about climate change and weather on all of our programming. It's a bit of a takeover day. And we did a campaign a few years ago where we all sat down and we said, obviously, we can talk about the things that are really bad, but you need, and I've always been a big advocate for this, that if you're going to talk about something that's really bad, there needs to be a solution. We can't just say things are terrible and they're going to get worse. We need to be able to say things are terrible. Yes, they're going to get a little bit worse, but a little bit worse or a lot worse. And that's the difference that we can make. It's about giving people the tools of just the small things again, because we could say to people, hey, what you can do is you can get rid of your car and you can cycle every day to work, or but we need to look at what's practical for people. It is the recycling more, it's the smaller things that they can do. It's tricky because, we one of the things we talked about was, oh, you could change your toothbrush from a plastic one to a bamboo toothbrush. Now, that's not going to save the world, but if enough people just start having a think about what they use, how they use it, how they recycle, how they reuse anything, if we just get people talking about that more, then it leads to the bigger things. Without getting political, we all know that we need the big countries, the big polluters to come on board, do their bit, which we know is a big, a very hard thing to do, and especially with what's going to be happening in America next year. It is worrying, but we need to give people the the tools and the feeling that they can do something and they can.
So true. I just love everything that you're saying. We're just like, yeah. And we just
Oh,
love the book as well. But do you know what, John?
thank.
We're gonna move on to a get to know me round. So will you answer a couple of questions for us?
Oh gosh, okay. This will probably be the trickiest part of the interview then, won't it?
Well, some of them are weather related and then some of them are just super random. So
Okay.
starting off, what is your favorite season?
Oh, winter. Winter. For me, Chris, I have two obsessions in life. Weather, sorry, snow and Christmas. So for me, this was part of the reason my debut book was a Christmas book, because it was taking weather and Christmas and putting them together. So my two real passions together. So winter all the way.
You know what, Sean? I don't think anyone we know has said winter, have they, Gemma? And we've done
Really?
one
person. Most people say spring or autumn. We get
You are very unique.
very few
Oh my
winters.
goodness. I really, really dislike the summer. I'm a real, whenever I get sent out on location to hot weather, I absolutely hate it, because I'm just like, I don't like the heat. I hate it. I much prefer cold weather and you can get bundled up and be all cozy. But yeah, for me, it's winter. But the winters, unfortunately, are just usually very mild and wet for us up here, rather than crisp and snowy. Although that we've done not too bad so far in the last few weeks.
What is your favorite type of cloud?
Oh, now, I mean, cumulonimbus would seem like the obvious one, because you could say it's the king of clouds. Whenever I do talks for kids, I always say the king cloud is the cumulonimbus, because it's responsible for hail, thunder, tornadoes. It's just a great cloud, but as I say, it's a really obvious one for me. Probably altocumulus lenticularis. We get them quite a lot in parts of Aberdeenshire, Moray, here in the northeast of Scotland. I get a lot of people send in the pictures and say, "We've got UFOs in the sky. What's happening?" And I say, "Have you never seen these before?" Because we get them so often in the Highlands, of course, in the right weather conditions. So yes, I'm going to go altocumulus lenticularis.
That's a great choice.
A great choice.
Thank you.
Now, being in Scotland, you have some great mountains and you have some beautiful beaches as well. So, if you had to choose, would you prefer the beach or the mountains?
Oh my goodness. Now, I love the Isle of Harris, which is part of the Western Isles. The reason I love the Isle of Harris is because I mean, honestly, I think it is one of the most stunning places in the world, because you have mountains, very, very steep mountains, which just plunge straight down into a lovely white sandy beach and crystal clear waters. And I love the Isle of Harris so much because it has both of those right next to each other, because it's the big proper white sandy beaches. And I've actually named my dog's called Harris, because I love the Isle of Harris so much, which does upset people from the Isle of Lewis, which is they are joined together. Whenever I go to the islands, they say, "Are you going to get another dog and call it Lewis?" For me, I'm going to say mountain, because I'm more chance of getting some snow.
I'm gonna have to
Love
add Harris to my list because
it.
I've been
Oh.
to Mull and Iona, and the beaches on Iona were beautiful. I'd never seen anything like it. The crystal clear water, the white sand, it was amazing. So I'm gonna have to add
Please do add the Isle of
Harris.
Harris, because you will be absolutely blown away. I was in the Isle of Harris during one of its coldest periods, and it was a time when the mountains were completely covered in snow, and there was snow on the beaches as well. But because the beaches have got white sand on them, it just looked otherworldly, because you have these crystal clear waters, and the blue, just honestly, it's such an amazing place to be when it's not windy.
Yeah. Everywhere is lovely when it's not windy. Are you going to go to the Island Games? Isn't there Island Games next year? Is it in Shetland, and Orkney this
That's right. I
year?
think they
Yeah.
come to Scotland. No, I haven't got any plans to, but actually, that's just given me an idea for an outside broadcast. So, yes, of course, the Island Games travel all around the world, and sometimes they're in places like Bermuda, and sometimes they're in Shetland. Yes, so I think, yes, you're right. It comes to Scotland next year. So, yes, I should perhaps go along to it.
If you were a fruit or vegetable, what would you be?
Rare vegetable. Oh my goodness, that is so tricky. I love pumpkins. I really like pumpkins, but I would need to be more patriotic and say a turnip, because traditionally we carved turnips in Scotland, which we call tumshies. So I'm going to say I would be a lovely turnip.
Oh, you would. You'd be the best turnip ever. Also, no one has ever said that before, and it's remarkable that people actually come up with something. We always say this. We're like, how does people come up with that? But really quickly, people think.
Goodness, I can't believe I've just said I want to be a turnip.
I love it. It's a great choice. It's a great choice.
If you could invite one person to dinner, and it can be anybody at all from any historical time frame, or it could even be a fictional character, who would it be?
So that is I always find that a really tricky question, but I would love to sit with Kate Bush and have dinner. I love Kate Bush, but
Ooh,
of
Kate
course
Bush,
she
it's me, Kathy.
yeah,
Love you.
Wuthering Heights and running up that hill, and but she doesn't do many concerts, she doesn't do many interviews, she's quite a introverted character, so she, you know, you we don't know a lot about her, but I would love to hear her story and just a bit more about her life, and maybe even get her to sing while I'm having my dinner.
I bet you if she hears this, you are known by so many people, it might actually get back to her. You never know.
Oh, Kate Bush, please come to Glasgow. If you ever want to do a concert, we'll help put it on here. Just a
Love
small concert.
that. Just for me,
Family and
just for
friends.
one.
Yeah, so it would be Kate Bush.
And our final question, it's a question that we always ask people, is what's one thing that you wish everybody knew about the weather?
The one thing I wish everybody knew about the weather, I wish everybody understood how showers worked. Because it's one of those things where you say on television, it's going to be showers today, and people say, oh, you either get, oh, it's been dry all day, and I cancelled our barbecue because you said there was going to be showers, or you get the other one where you get people that say, oh, well, I thought it was just going to be a shower. And I've, you know, we were having a barbecue and it's just rained all day because the showers have all been lined up. So, yeah, I think it would be that everybody understood how showers worked and that they can be on and off, or they can be frequent, or you can be very lucky and miss them altogether.
Yeah, you could just be like lined up in them as they're rattling on through or like a mile down the road or not. Yeah, we totally agree.
But don't you sometimes feel a bit of a fraud when you say a day of sunshine and showers? And because it's almost, you can kind of hear people thinking, oh, so is that just it might rain, it might not?
No, but that's the thing. That's the thing about a broadcast, though. It's so short. It is
So
something that
short.
like you have to like. You could be broadcasting for 20 seconds, and in 20 seconds, you need to try it. So you're never going to get it right for everybody. So yeah, I
No.
think maybe that's something we should start just explaining. So you start a, explaining that just goes around the world about like this is exactly what a shower is,
Yeah, maybe there should be a book about
Yeah,
showers.
just
Just
showers,
shower. Yeah.
gaps in the showers, big showers, frequent showers, scattered showers, all of yeah, sunshine and
Shawnee,
showers,
Shawnee Shower explains.
sunny
So
showers, a sun shower.
here we
Yeah,
go.
yeah.
That's my next book.
Yeah,
Sorted. I'll go away
I
and
love
write
that.
it
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. We've loved speaking with you. We hope we get to speak to you again another time for another reason, maybe another book.
now.
But if
Yeah,
people wanted
thank
to
you.
follow you or contact you or find your book, can you tell us how they'll find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on Twitter, Sean Batty TV. I'm also on Instagram. The book is available online, Waterstones, Amazon, WH Smith. And if anybody perhaps wants a signed copy, most people outside of Scotland will be like, who is it? But if anybody would like a signed copy, they can get it on my website, seanbatty.co.uk. But thank you very much. And here's keeping our fingers crossed for a white Christmas.
It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna
No, it's
happen.
not.
If you have enjoyed this podcast, we would love it if you subscribe, rate, review, and share the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at For the Love of Weather. On X, we are the number four Love of Weather. And we just hope that you leave this episode loving the weather just that little bit more.
Thanks for listening. Bye.